Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. Now this is the reading of God's word. Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near him to listen to him. Both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable, saying, "What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I'll tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost.' In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We ask that you would bless all of us who are hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word. And Father, bless the one who is preaching also. Without your presence and your working in all of us, what we do is always in vain. So Father, bless us. And let us hear your voice through your word, telling us the wonderful stories of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that by your grace, the word will be preached correctly and all of us not only believe, but also obey your word. And Father, we thank you for this wonderful time. Receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As you know, what we are looking at in the book of Luke is our Lord Jesus Christ is accomplishing heaven, the kingdom of God. And even as he accomplishes it, he also witnesses the reality of that heaven. It shows us. He shows us through his teaching and what he does, what is true of heaven. He shows us the true Christians, the true citizens of heaven, how they are. Now we come to chapter 15. Verse 1. All the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near him to listen to him. If you remember at the end of chapter 14, Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And now the sinners and the tax collectors were coming to Jesus to listen to him. But we also see the complete opposite in verse 2. "This man receives sinners and eats with them." The Pharisees and the scribes, they grumble. It says both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble. Just like the Israelites in the wilderness in the Old Testament. They say, "This man." That language completely shows they despise Jesus Christ. Jesus is receiving and eating with the sinners. He welcomes them, has fellowship with them. Now, there are many verses in the Old Testament that seem like God is preventing his people from contacting even with the sinners. And we saw this last week, so I'm not going to get into too deep, but let me repeat a couple of things. Isaiah 52 verse 11, depart, depart, go out from there, touch nothing unclean, go out of the midst of her, purify yourselves, you who carry the vessels of the Lord. And we see the similar verses in the New Testament. And we saw this last week, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 and 17. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Therefore come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord. And do not touch what is unclean. And I will welcome you. Now, these verses tell us not to participate in their sins. But they do not tell us, like we saw last time, that we cannot even talk with them. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 and 10, I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. I did not at all mean with the immoral people of this world, or with the covetous and swindlers, or with the idolaters, for then you would have to go out of the world. So if God's command is don't even contact non-Christian, don't even speak to them, then we have to go out of the world to obey that. That's not what God means. God is saying, do not participate with them in their sins. But there are, like we saw last time, there are people we must not associate with. And they are 1 Corinthians 5:11. But actually, I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he is an immoral person or covetous or idolaters or reviler or a drunkard or a swindler. Not even to eat with such a one. There are people that you must not even talk. And there are people who say they are Christians and they do these immoral things without repentance. Now let me qualify that. There are many Christians who will do these evil things, but if they repent, then of course you have to continue to receive them as your brothers and your sisters. But if they do not repent and continue to do these things, don't even eat with that person. Don't even go out with that. That's what God is telling us. But it is okay to go out and associate with non-Christians because they are the ones you need to preach. You need to share the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We must share the gospel with the sinners. And that is exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ is doing in our passage. Jesus says in Luke chapter 5, verse 32, I have not come to call the righteous but sinners to repent. Thus we see in our passage Jesus welcoming the sinners and eating with them. Now we must realize that we are all sinners. There is no one righteous, not even one, God has said. The problem with the Pharisees and the scribes was that they thought that they were righteous in the sight of God. Thus, they thought that they were not the sinners and that God was receiving them as more precious people than the sinners. Luke chapter 5, verse 31, and Jesus answered and said to them, it is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. See, these sinners, Pharisees and scribes, they thought that they were well. Thus, they do not need Jesus Christ, the true physician. And many Christians think this way also, that they think that they are better than the others. They say things like, oh, at least I don't do that. And if you have slightest idea that you are better than some sinners out there, let me tell you definitely, you're wrong. You're not any better. You deserve eternal hell just like them. But we repent of our sins, and God has saved us from this world and sin. That's the only difference. If God let you just live according to your sinful nature, let me tell you, there will not be anything that you would not do yourself. If you did not do those sins, then that's grace of God. Because if He just lets you live according to your sinful nature, oh, you'll do all kinds of things. So don't even think that you're any better than other people. We're all sinners. And if you truly feel, oh, I'm living a little bit better life than those sinners, oh, then give thanks to God, because that's God's grace. And that was the problem with these Pharisees and scribes. They actually thought that they're better, and they deserve better from God. That's why they say, I don't need you, Jesus, because I'm already accepted by God. I'm so good. Of course, we must not participate in their sin. And we must do our best not to sin. And when we do sin, we must repent. But we're not any better. We're all sinners who deserve eternal hell from God. Now, when we read verse 1 and also verse 2, we see the tax collectors, the sinners, and Pharisees and the scribes. Then we read in verse 3, so He, Jesus, told them this parable, saying, now, He told the parable to whom? To them. And who are them? Well, first, you could tell, it's the Pharisees and the scribes. Now, this information is so important when we are going to understand the whole chapter 15. So do not forget that. First of all, Jesus is telling this parable to the Pharisees and the scribes first. But Jesus also wants the tax collectors and the sinners to hear His word also. And He also wants you to hear it also, of course. But the immediate context tells us that Jesus is saying these parables to the Pharisees and the scribes. And it is important information that we must remember in order for us to understand the whole chapter 15. Now, to the Pharisees and the scribes, Jesus wants them to hear and be convicted of their sins so they could repent. And to the others, Jesus wants them to hear and be glad to hear the gospel. And we must always remember this verse 3 as we look at the whole chapter 15. Now, we see three parables in chapter 15. The first, the parable of the lost sheep. Second, the parable of the lost coin. And the third, from verse 11, which we will look at next time, the famous parable, maybe the most famous parable in the Bible, the parable of the prodigal son. The second son, with the money from his own father, goes out and spends on all the sinful life. Then he comes back, that prodigal son. But these three parables, Jesus is telling them first to the Pharisees and the scribes. Now, when we read verse 3, it says, so he told them this parable. Now, that's a very, very important phrase. It says, Jesus told them this parable. Now, that word this is singular. But when you read the rest of the chapter, he tells three parables. So what Luke is telling us is that he considers three parables as one parable. And that is really important fact. You need to understand each parable with its relationship to the other parables. You have to treat all these three parables as one parable. That way, you will truly understand the true meaning of them. Or, according to Luke, meaning of it, as if it's one parable. So, Luke is guiding us how we are to interpret these parables. Again, let me repeat. We must read these three parables as one parable. The problem that we have, you and I have, is we just don't have enough time to look at all the way to verse 32. Yeah, even though we're going to just look at first two parables, it will take, you know, whole time. And if we were to add the third parable, we will stay here more than 2 hours. So we just don't have enough time to look at all three parables. So we're going to divide. Even though I don't want to divide, but I don't think you will let me preach to you 2 hours. So, up to verse 10 today, and next time we will look at all the way to verse 32 in the context of whole chapter 15. Okay. So, listen very carefully to the first two parables because the conclusion that we make in these parables will help us to interpret the third parable in the biblical way. Because it is the most famous parable in the Bible, and yet so many people misunderstand what it's saying. We'll deal with that next time. The first parable is the parable of the lost sheep. Verse 4 through 7. What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I tell you that in the same way. And in verse 7, Jesus summarizes what parable is about. And this is the key. You have to listen to the Bible. You cannot just go to these verses and think that you know what he's saying. Bible tells you what it means. And verse 7, I tell you in the same way, there will be no There will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And you probably go, huh? Sheep? How can sheep repent? When you read the parable, you never think that it's about repentance and the joy of heaven, because a sinner is coming back to God repenting. And yet, Jesus says that's what it's about. So you do not argue with Jesus. I mean, there's a lot of things you shouldn't do, but one thing you shouldn't do is argue with Jesus. If Jesus says that's what it means, then that's what it means. So you are to go back to the parable and understand it in terms of what Jesus tells you. Oh, so it's about lost sinner who repents and who comes back to God. And God is so happy, so rejoicing, because the lost one is found. The parable starts with, what man among you does not, that's how it begins, meaning that there is no one who will not do the same thing. A shepherd has 100 sheep, but he loses one. One is lost. So he leaves the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost. And our passage says that he will look for it until he finds it. He will not stop looking for it. And the central point of the parable is the joy of the man when he finds the lost sheep. Verse 5, when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. Verse 6, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Verse 7 talks about the joy in heaven. So, there are many verses that clearly talks about this joy. And that's how you are to understand this parable. It's about joy of that person who has lost sheep, one sheep, but now it is found. Now he carries the found sheep on his shoulder, rejoicing. But he doesn't just rejoice himself. He tells the others to rejoice with him. And again, verse 7, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Now, lost sheep represents the sinner who is fallen in sin. God the Father finds the sinner and saves him. The Father sends the Holy Spirit to him and recreates him and saves him and gives him faith to believe and to repent of his sins. Even though the parable doesn't say all that. All those things are included in finding the sinner or finding the sheep. I will say this again next time, but when you look at one section of the Bible, you don't expect God to put every teaching in the Bible in that one section. And just because you're preaching that section, and that section does not have certain teachings which other sections will have, you cannot conclude that those things that is taught in the other part of the Bible is not the truth. That's not what God teaches us, because it's not in that certain section of the Bible. But this is what people do. And we're going to get into that more next week.
So when we hear about this person going out and finding this person, a lost sheep, and bringing that sheep back home, you have to put everything you have learned in other sections of the Bible included in that. So it's the Father who is doing that, but Father sends the Holy Spirit, and He sends also His Son, Jesus Christ, and do all these things, and everything is included in this phrase. He goes out and finds the lost sheep.
Yes, God comes to the sinner, finding him. Not just ignoring the sin, but God goes out to look for the sinner. And that is exactly what happened to us. God came to us and found us. We did not seek God. You know, you often meet Christians who will tell you, oh, I've been seeking God for like 5 years. He doesn't know what he's talking about. See, that's what he thinks. That we know. That's what he thinks, that he was seeking God for 5 years. But it's false. See, this is how I talk with other people. I don't care what they say to me. I understand that in terms of the Bible. Even if he says he'll be seeking 5 years God, in my mind, I already know that's not true. That's false. So I don't take what he says to me. And this happens quite a bit. You have to know the Bible. You don't just listen to people and just accept whatever they say. Because they say to you false things, even though they actually feel like it, that is the truth. The Bible says no. Romans chapter 3, verse 11, there is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. There's nobody who seeks God. It is God who seeks the sinner. And He will find that sinner and He will bring back. It's not sinners looking for God. That's not what the Bible is teaching. And yet, this is how they say. And it's false. Yeah, many times people who sin, they say, oh, it's just for me. You know, I know God doesn't want this, but I sin, but I'm not trying to influence other people. It's just for me. False. Bible says, not only they sin against God, but they encourage others to do so. Bible says. So I don't care what they tell me, I understand them in terms of what the Bible says. And you must do this. And once you do it, you become a bad person. They don't like you. Because you're not accepting what they're saying. Because I have to accept what the Bible says. Now, our God goes out to look for the sinner. And that's what happened to us. We did not seek God, He did. Our God leaves 99 and go out and seeks the one which is lost. To our God, this is the point. Everyone is important. Every single one of you is important. No one is more important than the other. Because to save you, God had to pay exact amount to save you compared to the other people. I mean, if God paid way more to save the other person, but God paid little less to save you, then I could say, oh yeah, that person is more important than you. No, God had to pay the same price, his life, to save you, just like everybody else he saved. So each one of you, every single one of you, is precious to God. So God will do to what he did to this one last one, he will do it to you, if that's what happened to you. And because God is eternal and infinite, because there is no limit and restriction when it comes to our God, 100% of God is given to each and one of you. That's possible with God. See, as a pastor, if all of you call me at the same time and say, let's meet, there's no way I could meet you all at one time and have that intimate, you know, interaction. But God could. God could meet you personally. And you are meeting God, 100% of God. Even though we are all meeting him at the same time. Because God is infinite. God is eternal. That's why he's God. So, this is how it's going to be in heaven. You will have to yourself 100% of God to all by yourself. To enjoy him, to have, you know, that sweet fellowship with him. It's a wonderful life indeed. I don't know what would involve, how it's going to be, but see, that's what it means, that our God is infinite and eternal. So our passage says, over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Who are these people? As we all know, that there is no one who needs no repentance. So this saying is like that. This saying is similar to Luke chapter 5, verse 31. Jesus answered and said to them, it is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. But we know that there is no one who is well. But God uses that to make his point. It is true that people who are well do not need a physician. But there is no one like that in terms of sin. Even if there are 99 people who are righteous, does need no repentance in heaven. The point is, even if there are those kind of people, 99 people in heaven, and God, joy, he rejoices over them, and that joy is great, even if that's true, the point is, it is still not as much joy as one sinner who comes to God repenting his sins. That's the point. It's not saying there are actually 99 people who doesn't have to repent. But even if that's true and God rejoices over them, but that joy is not as much as when you, sinner, who repents your sin and come to God. From this, brothers and sisters in Christ, realize how great the joy of God was and is when you came to God believing Jesus Christ and repenting of your sins. You might say to yourself, I don't think I ever did something that would bring joy to God. And you think
back to your life and saying, I don't remember anything that I have done that actually brought joy to my God. And I'm telling you, you did bring so much joy. More joy that God would have over 99 righteous people who need no repentance. He had more joy because of you. When you repented of your sins and you start trusting Christ, when you start believing God. It's the fact. This is your reality. Oh, God was so joyous when you did that. And He's still rejoicing because He's infinite, eternal. Once He does whatever, it's forever. And He rejoices over you. Zephaniah, I read this to you so many times. Here again, Zephaniah 3:17. Thus, Lord, your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exult over you with joy, and He will be quiet in His love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. You caused that joy, even though it was all His work. To me, that means so much. That I caused God's joy. And I understand that Jesus Christ our Lord, that whatever He did, it was because He wanted to bring joy to His Father. Causing joy of His Father. That was all His life. That was what it's all about. And because of Jesus Christ, even though I lived a sinful life, that I actually caused the joy of my God. This means so much to me. And Bible tells me that that's what happened. Just like the shepherd who found the lost sheep, our God called everyone in heaven, saying to them, all the angels and His Son and the Holy Spirit, come, rejoice with me. For I have found my Son which was lost. This is what happened when I was saved. When you were saved. God saved us who were lost, meaning who were fallen in sin, and rejoiced over us and loves us now and forever. Isaiah 40:11, like a shepherd, He will tend His flock. In His arm, He will gather the lambs and carry them in His bosom. He will gently lead the nursing wolves. Ezekiel 31:11. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out as a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep. So I will care for my sheep and will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries. And bring them to their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the streams and in all the inhabited places of the land. I will feed them in a good pasture, and their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. They will be lie down on good grazing ground and feed in rich pasture on the mountain of Israel, meaning He's talking about heaven. That is just beautiful, beautiful story. The second parable, the parable of the lost coin, verse 8 through 10. Or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and lost one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost." In the same way, I tell you, there will be joy. There is joy in the presence of the angel of God over one sinner who repents. Again, Jesus tells us what that parable is about. Obviously, if we don't have that, you know, conclusion, verse 10, then how can we even talking about repentance? Coin cannot repent. You will not even go there. And yet Jesus tells us what that is about. Because it's about joy. Joy of someone who has lost something and finds it. That's what these parables are about. Well, actually, if you could see, this parable is pretty similar to the first parable. Again, woman, 10 silver coins, but one is lost. So what does she do? She lights up a lamp. Yeah, old days we don't have switch to light the light. A lamp and sweep the house to look for it. Here again, she searches carefully until what? Until she finds it. If the first parable is about going out far to look for the lost, then the second parable is about seeking the lost in the house, very near. Now this fact will be relevant in the third parable. Again, just like the man in the first parable, the woman calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost." Again, Jesus tells us the meaning of the parable in verse 10 once again. In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. In the first parable, it was said, the joy of heaven. But here, it is joy in the presence of the angels of God. Well, all points to the joy of heaven. In the first parable, he said, it will be joy in heaven. Future tense. But here, in the second parable, it says, there is joy in heaven. Present tense. Thus, put together the eternal joy, joy now, joy forever. That's what heaven is all about. Let me conclude. Well, it's not really concluding because you cannot conclude in the middle of this unit. But, yeah, we don't have time to look at the third parable, which is actually longer than these two parables put together. Well, as you could see, all are the stories of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our God who came seeking each one of us who are fallen in sin, who are lost in sin, and found us and saved us. Jesus knows how much the Father rejoices when a sinner is found. And Jesus knows how much the joy of Father over a found sinner is. That's the motivation. Thus, to please God, to bring joy to God, Jesus came seeking the sinners. Seeking us, seeking you and me. So that we will be found, so that the Father's joy will be abundant. And He came to the low place of this world to seek us. He came to seek us all the way to the death on the cross. We who are saved by Lord Jesus Christ, And through His Word, you and I, we know now how much joy it will bring to our Father God when one sinner comes to God repenting his or her sin. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if we know how much joy that we could bring to God when one sinner repents and comes to God. If we know, then, how can we not go out and seek the sinners in this world? Is it because you didn't know how much joy it will bring to your Father? Is that why you don't do that? Now you know. Bible tells us how much joy it comes to God the Father when one lost sinner is found. So go out. Find the sinner. Share the gospel. Because it will really make no sense whatsoever that you know how much joy that you could bring to God and you don't do it. Does that make sense to you? Brothers and sisters in Christ, we must seek the sinners to bring joy to our God. We must participate in the holy work of our Lord Jesus Christ in seeking the lost sinners. And whenever we see the lost sinner found, we too rejoice. We too participate in rejoicing of our God. God tells us, gather, let us rejoice. But look at Pharisees. They grumble. They're not rejoicing. They're not participating in the joy of God. But how much do you participate in the joy of God when sinner repents and come to God? Do you rejoice with God? Or you are just like Pharisees, not rejoicing, refuse to rejoice? The Pharisees, misunderstanding that they were righteous in God's sight, even when they see sinners being saved, they did not rejoice. Rather, they grumbled. I wonder what would happen if a well-known prostitute comes here and be a member of our church. Would you rejoice? Or you say things like, oh man, even that kind of person is now here. Because you are so righteous, you are so better than her. Just like these Pharisees. Let us rejoice as we see sinners repent of their sins and coming back to God. There's no sin, I don't care what it is, that God will not forgive when they come repenting of it. And it's not that, like I said before, you're not better than anybody. But at the same time, you need to understand, you're not any worse than anybody either. And I'm telling you the truth, you're not better than anybody, but you're not any worse than anybody. We're all sinners, deserving equal punishment. Eternal hell. If you, any of you, deserve less than that, then I will treat you better than me. But your payment is same as mine. I don't consider better than you. But I don't consider you worse than me either. Well, that kind of sounds, am I saying the same thing? But you understand what I mean. These Pharisees, they did not participate in joy of God. They rather grumbled. But you and I joined the citizens of heaven and all the angels and our triune God as He calls us to rejoice. Rejoice with God. Our God saves His people, and this is our heavenly reality. And let us continue to look at this whole section next time. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are God who go out and seek the sinners. We thank You that You came in the person of Jesus Christ to seek us and found us. And You gave us faith to believe and to repent so that we repent of our sins and we came back to You. And there was heavenly banquet, heavenly celebration. And it continues forever because we have repented and we came back to You. Oh, thank You, God, to know that we cause that joy, that forever joy of God, You. It brings so much joy to us. Let us live that joyous life that You have called us to live. And even as we see sinners, how vile, how filthy they were, when they come back to God repenting of their sins, let us rejoice. Participate in that joy that is true of You. We love You, God. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.